You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
We have made it to the middle of the week, and we're glad you're here on the 7th of July. We are a week after the beginning of NIL, and that's still going to be a big topic of conversation. We will eventually move to the field with SEC Media Days under 2 weeks. We appreciate you being here. Phone number is always the same, 855-242-7285. We'll talk to Terrence Moore, who is a national sports columnist at Forbes. He's a legendary figure in the Atlanta area, having written for the papers there on television. But he also is predicting the NIL rule will damage college football and basketball. Later, Andrea Adelson from ESPN, Perry Trammell from the Oklahoma. We'll talk about how the Oklahoma players have reacted, and also whether or not Spencer Rattler can lead Oklahoma to the promised land. We'll head to Buckeye country a little bit later as well. Tim May, long time. I think he spent 40-some-odd years at the local paper there covering the Buckeyes. And Gene Sapikoff from Charleston, a little bit on Clemson, South Carolina, and the college football season. So I mentioned the phones, and I'm like you. I'm ready to get to the season, but it's hard to move past NIL, and I don't mind the conversation. It's the biggest story going in the college sports world. You have the story out there today about Phil Knight finally influencing his place out with Oregon with Nike. We knew that was coming. Remember, we had Mario Cristobal on the other day. You could just sense that Nike was going to make a big impact on college sports, and that happened. You have more stories bouncing around the country. This is a reasonably quiet time. The Olympics are 16 days off. The NBA playoffs are going on. Soccer is going on, and the college football season slowly, and I mean slowly, percolating. So we will certainly get to that. Not a lot of really big news today to pass along. Just mainly NIL stuff. I've looked all over the place for something that really deals with anything other than that. And quite frankly, I haven't seen it. I did see something interesting a minute ago. It's funny because many, many years ago, I was a newspaper columnist, as some of you may know, and I started a poll. I used to do it every year on the first day of SEC Media Days. I'm talking this going back 30 years ago, and it was really cool. It was one of my favorite things because I'm not a look at me guy, but I was the first person to do it. So I remember the reaction when I started ranking the coaches, and it was particularly important because all the media was in Birmingham, and it would be disseminated, and some of the coaches would be asked about it. Now, let's be honest, everybody who has access to a phone is doing his or her own coaching ranking. And I'm not being critical of any of them. I mean, I was the first person to do it, so I would be the last person. But I do find them to be very interesting, how diverse they are after you get past number one. I saw one today. This one's from CBS. You know, Saban's number one. There is some debate about number two. And in this one, Jimbo Fisher is number two. Kirby is three, Dan Mullen four. I don't think you're going to find many rankings any different than that. I mean, if you're sitting there at home and you're going, okay, I'm doing this as we speak. I got Saban. I've got, you know, maybe you're a Georgia fan, you got Kirby. Maybe you're an A&M fan, you have Jimbo. Maybe you're a Mullen fan. But I don't think too many people are going to argue with those four. Then it gets interesting. Number five, Ed Orgeron. There was a time when he was number two. There was a time when maybe he was competing for number one. Now he's number five. And as you heard one of our guests yesterday, I think it was Matt Hayes, maybe trending down. Number six, who you got? Who's missing? I've got five in, so that means there's seven out. Who's number six? Mark Stoops. I don't have any argument with that. I think Mark Stoops is a legitimately good coach. Number five, he's number six. He could be higher, could be lower, but he's certainly deserving of upper class mention. I've left out one or two big names here. This list at number seven has Brian Harsin on the list at number seven. So that means he is ahead of Lane Kiffin, who's number eight. Is Lane Kiffin only the eighth best coach in the SEC? And if he's eight, Mike Leach is nine? Is that possible? According to CBS Sports, it is. Elijah, I think he changed his name while we weren't looking, but he now goes by Elijah. Elijah Drinkwitz, number 10. So that leaves four remaining. Who you got? Who's your bottom four? This list has Sam Pittman, number 11, Heupel, 12, Clark Lee, 13, Shane Beamer, 14. Now, you could say that, you know, number 14 is the worst coach in the SEC, but you also have to say the guy has never coached a game. So can you really differentiate between Lee and Beamer? Heupel is coached. Pittman is coached. Drink is coached. If I'm just doing this without giving it much thought, which is completely transparent, I'm wondering about Kiffin and Leach being that low. Brian Harsin is an accomplished coach, but we have no earthly idea whether he will be successful at Auburn. So I'm probably going to move Kiffin and Leach maybe a little higher. Outside of the top five, that's Saban, Fisher, Smart, Mullen, and Orgeron. Who's moving up? Of this next group, who has the chance to make the biggest leap? Is it Stoops? Is it Harsin? Is it Kiffin? Is it Leach? Is it Drink? Is it Pittman? I think there's a mover in that group, but who is it? I've got my eye on one of those group. Anyway, something to talk about as we work our way through the show. Let's grab some calls. First up, Platypus. I apologize. I have a brand new computer I'm working in. I can't figure out which way it works. So I'm going to take my time. Okay, there we go. Platypus in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about the Euros. I don't think anyone's asked you about the Euros. Are you a company man? Are you watching the Euros?
I have watched it. We have England and Denmark starting right now.
Yep.
I'm a Brit at heart. My grandfather's from London, so I'm definitely pulling for England.
Nice. Me too. I don't know much about soccer. I like to watch it, but I like college football, let's be honest here. But I wanted to ask you about Roger Bennett. Do you know the commentator, Men of Blazers podcast?
Yes. I saw him on television the other day. Yes, I know who he is.
Okay, yeah. And he was on maybe the ESPN Daily Show. But I think he would be – he just came out with a book called Reborn in the USA. It's all about his love for America and why he moved to America and his love of American football and English football. And I feel like it would be a good change of pace interview for you. He's really colorful and really knowledgeable and just like a great personality. I think you should try to get him on.
It's a really good suggestion. I saw him on one of the network shows the other morning, and he was fantastic. It's a great idea. I will talk to our people.
Yeah, good, good. All right, and then the last thing is, yeah, the NIL deal. I was waiting for Nike in Oregon to make a big push. And, yeah, the news about Tinker Hatfield and Phil Knight's collaboration with Kayvon Thibodeau.
Right, right.
And you know who Tinker Hatfield is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Like, that's big time. But I one question. Yeah, Tinker Hatfield made all the retros, Retro 3 versus Retro 14 for Michael Jordan, a huge name in Oregon. But what's a non-fungible token? That's what they claimed it was. What is that? What's a non-fungible token that Kayvon Thibodeau got? What is that?
It's an FT, an NFT. I'm sorry. that's a new catchphrase in the new world of cryptology. Hey, thanks for the call. We are up against a break. We have a great guest coming up in a minute. And we're going to talk to Terrence Moore in just a second at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back here on a Wednesday afternoon. We're so delighted to welcome Terrence Moore to the program. Many of you in the South and around the country have read his columns for the Atlanta papers, for countless others, as well as being a fixture on television in the Atlanta area. He has a piece out that you can read on Forbes right now. Under the heading, NCAA has had no choice, but NIL rule will damage college football and basketball. First of all, Terrence, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, Paul, here in Atlanta, Georgia, so I can't complain.
Well, I know it's been tough there with the upstart Hawks now departing from and what a strange story that has been, but it's great to have you on, and I really have always been a big fan of your column in Atlanta and elsewhere. But I want to talk about this because there's been so much fawning over NIL from the media. We even had a columnist from the Washington Post on the other day who talked about how investigative journalism is over. Nobody wants to read bad things. Everyone wants to celebrate young players now collecting money from college athletics. And I'm sure that you, like a lot of us, are happy to see it happen. Except there are consequences, are there not?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Paul, you're exactly right when you talk about the media and the happy talk. I've been doing this for 42 years now, and I've seen that evolution where people just want to hear about the good things. And here's my thing when it comes to NILs. All right, there is no question. We all know that college athletics has essentially been operating as legalized slavery forever, and that these guys were, you know, not getting their just due when it comes to compensation or what have you. But that being said, and this was inevitable, the NILs were inevitable, paying players was inevitable. That being said, my thing is, I don't think, and I know, that the average sports fan, and certainly the average college football, college basketball fan, has no idea of the horrors that are about to come. That's my point, because nobody wants to talk about it, because, again, as you pointed out, the media, we want to perpetuate just the stuff that makes people feel good.
No, and you and I are compatriots. I mean, we've been in it about the same number of years, and there was a time when some of the things that are passing now, the two of us would have sat in the press box in Atlanta or Birmingham or anywhere in the South and just shaking our heads going, what has happened to our industry? But now, if you dare even look at it objectively like you are, you almost get run over. And I want to go back to Beth, the line you had a minute ago about the legalized slavery, because I've heard that from a lot of young players over the years, and certainly players who have come at. Let's talk about that for a second, because that's really how we got to this point, is it not?
Yes. Oh no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you're talking about, and let's go over what everybody knows. You look at as far as from college basketball is concerned. The NCAA gets about $1 billion from its contracts from Turner Sports and also from CBS. There's no doubt that that's a lot of money. And even more so when you look at what's going on with the college football playoff system. Right now, they get approximately from that about $600 million. And when they expand, and they will expand, as we all know, from four teams to 12 teams in the playoffs, it's been reported by many circles that they're going to get the NCAA upwards of $2 billion a year from that. So people see that. People see that you've got 11 college coaches right now in college football who are averaging about $6 million or more, and 26 college basketball coaches with $3 million or more. So there's a lot of money out there, all right? And these players are not getting it. Unfortunately, there is not a good way to solve this problem. And people are looking at sort of the knee-jerk reaction here with the NIL situation and thinking that this is the way to do it. But here's a classic example, Paul, and then you've read my column. Transfers. I don't know if people understand what's going to happen here. Right now, the transfer portal is at a record high. Last I checked, there was, just in college basketball, more than 2,000 players were transferring from that. This is going to make that look like a child's play, because you're going to have players going to where they perceive, not necessarily actuality, where they perceive the big money is, and that's going to change the dynamics in the face of your average college football program, among other things, or college basketball program too.
Terrence, you talk about about four or five main points in this, and I agree with you. We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago, Tom Luganville, who said that right now in the portal, only about, I think it was under 5% of the players are even finding home. So that's in the football realm.
Yes.
Basketball is we don't even have time to figure out the ills of college basketball. But I do want to ask you about some of the unintended consequences. I mean, yeah, we both would agree that cheating is going to just, you know, it has been legalized now, but what's the effect it's going to have on coaches, especially those like the most famous coach in the land, Nick Saban, whose theme every time he talks to his players is process and team, and we're not in this for self-gratification. What is this if it's not self-gratification?
Yeah, and Paul, you know, again, going back to old school like you and I are, we don't talk off the top of our heads. I know I don't. I know you don't. I actually do research on these type of things. I have talked to at least a dozen college football players, current and past, recent past, and I asked them, I said, what kind of effect is this going to have on your average locker room? Because contrary to popular belief, not all of these guys are going to get paid unless they go to University of Miami, I guess, because this guy says he's going to pay everybody. But so what kind of effect is it going to have on the locker room when you've got the quarterback making X amount of money, the star cornerback or running back or what have you, and every one of these players to a T told me that's going to be disastrous because these guys have egos. I'm talking about these college players, and that the talk is going to be more so about this sort of thing in practices and corners than anything else. So to answer your question, what this is going to do with these coaches, if you are Nick Saban or if you're at my university, I went to school at Miami of Ohio, like a Chuck Martin in the Mid-American Conference, they're going to have to be more so than ever before great at massaging egos of these college players, but besides trying to be policemen over whether or not they're doing something illegal, because there's some do's and don'ts still with this type of system. It's going to be put so much on these coaches, and even beyond the coaches, in these athletic departments. Contrary to popular belief, most of these departments do not make money, and if they do, it's very, very little. So they will not have the staff to supervise what's going on with these players on a day-to-day basis. And one of the biggest things, I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but one of the biggest things, which I pointed out, that nobody's talking about, little things, which is a big thing, like taxes. I mean, these kids, 18, 19, 20 years, they don't know anything about taxes. Matter of fact, they probably don't think they have to pay taxes. Well, they got to pay taxes. Who's going to teach them about how to handle that type of situation? Whole can of worms here that nobody's looking at.
Terrence, I realize you're a journalist and you're not a soothsayer, but if you had to look ahead, and you allude to it in your piece, but you know, what do you think college sports is going to look like in a couple of years?
It's going to be a disaster, and particularly, and let's say the obvious. You know, the big boys like an Alabama or a Georgia is going to survive, and I should qualify that. The big boys are the big boys. Okay, let's take the SEC. All right, we all know that's big mama in college football, but let's be honest. Out of 14 SEC programs, there are only about six or seven that are very attractive. Right? I mean, if you had Ole Miss. And it's all about perception. If you're a good player, I'm not even talking about a great player, a good player at Ole Miss, the perception is going to be, I can make more money if I go to Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, LSU, probably Texas A&M. That's about it, okay? So you got that. But then going back to, say, a Miami of Ohio, which I've got my heart is there because I went to school in Miami, Ohio. Here's a program that's been great for years at this level. Cradle of coaches, some of the greatest college coaches of all time went to Miami, Ohio. Paul Brown, Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes, current coaches, Sean McVay of the Rams, John Harbaugh of the Ravens, they went to Miami, Ohio. But you got that. But here's what really concerns me. Miami has always been able, I'm talking about Miami, Ohio, the good Miami, not the bad one in Florida, has always been able to get a Ben Roethlisberger, a Wally Szczerbiak, a Ron Harper. Those days are gone. There is no way a Ben Roethlisberger is going to go to Little Miami of Ohio when he can go to this other Miami. We got this, and for those who haven't heard, you got this Miami booster at the University of Miami, the one in Florida, saying that he's going to give every player an opportunity to make $6,000 per player at least for starters. That's insane. So it's totally going to change, ruin, damage, and in my opinion, destroy college basketball and college football forever from what we see today.
Wow. Other than that, what do you think of it?
Well, the only thing I like about it is this. Again, continue the Miami, Ohio thing. I was an econ major back at Miami. I got a business degree. So I do believe in the free market system, the supply and demand. So when you come to the letter of the law, and certainly from the way this country operates where people should have, free choice and everything. This is great, you know, because, again, I can't, and that's why I always stipulate in these conversations, I get it. I understand that these guys need to get paid given the way the system is, and we're in the United States of America, not in communist China or Russia, so I get that. But I just don't think, and I've got to say, stop putting it that way, I know that the average sports fan has no idea of what I just said is going to come true. And one other quick thing, Paul, too, I should point out. These universities are losing tons of money. I'm not talking about athletic departments. I'm talking about the universities because of COVID-19. And I'm also a visiting professor at journalism at Miami of Ohio, so I know what goes on there. And you've got people at these universities who are working triple jobs now because they just don't have the staff because they've had to lay off so many people. So when you have these people, and I hear them all the time in my business, like with coworkers saying that, Well, what they can do is they could just hire people to help these kids, or they can have a department in charge of. And I've said, like, really? Are you paying attention to what's going on? There's no people to do that, and that's going to add to the chaos.
Wow, what an incredible conversation, and I mean, we're all cheerleading it. It's nice to see young people finally get something, but you have pointed out the underbelly of this, which very few have gone down and looked for. Terrence, thanks so much. I hope you'll come back. This was fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What a pleasure. What an interesting guest. We'll get your reaction to that in a moment. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We asked Terrence what college athletics is going to look like after NIL settles in. You heard him say it. It's going to be a disaster. We'll take a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. A lot of guests will be coming, and we're glad to have all of you here. 855-242-7285. And let's get to the calls. Reaction to Terrence. And we begin with Billy, who is in Philly. Hey, Billy, go right ahead.
I wish to disagree with the tone and the conclusions drawn by your last guest. First of all, using the word slavery suggests to me that this guy is not serious. This is a terrible thing to talk about. He must know better than that. So this is some kind of journalistic frenzy, which I think turns people off. You know better than I do how the thing's going to work out. We do not know. Will 12 teams in a playoff put more money in the system? Of course, but that has nothing to do with NIL. That's a separate issue. My thought is, first, schools understand all these things. Second of all, conferences understand all these things. You are correct in saying there will be a lot of lowlifes involved in here. We'll have to be tracked down, and there will be a scandal here, a scandal there. But we do not know. And I think that an almost impossibly worst case perspective is incorrect. And it's degrading to the people in the SEC and the people who really care about sports. I think it's degrading to the coaches and the players. I think they're better than that. I don't think it'll be clean as a whistle, but I don't think it's going to be as... We just don't know that it's going to be this crazy. And frankly, you're a better person to explain that than I am. I just sense that this was way, way off the tracks.
Listen, Billy, I hear what you're saying, and I asked Terrence to explain that, and you heard what he said. And he's not the first, and nor will he be the last to make that reference. And as far as it being a disaster, the truth is nobody knows. And
I agree.
I think it's a good thing, but the fact that there are so few, and you understand this from your background. I mean, there's so few guardrails up right now. Nobody knows how it's going to work, and nobody knows how it's going to be enforced. Now, once it happens, I think it will become a little bit clearer.
Yeah. A long time ago, I talked to you about Charles Barkley's concern, and I shared his concern, and I still share it. But I'm not ready to write off the schools and write off the kids and look to an immediately worst-case scenario. And I think this kind of rhetoric, which he didn't explain, in my opinion, is not good for the whole discourse. I may listen to the guy who you bring on who runs I think it's the Big 12. I mean, he's a very smart, dignified, intelligent human being.
He's not
going to blow himself up. He's not going to let that happen. And there are coaches who are not going to let this happen. Give the people who run these programs some credit. They're not all, Rick Pitinos.
Yeah, I think where the disaster will be, at least initially, so there are just a lot of programs that are ill-equipped for this. But I'm not sure they were all that – they were really in great shape anyway, because the college football model right now is is tilted toward the top.
What kind of schools are ill-prepared?
Well, I think middle-of-the-pack schools in lesser leagues in the hinterlands, where there just is not a lot of money in the community to support. But on the other hand, as soon as I say that, those schools aren't competing with Georgia and Florida anyway.
Yeah. I was about to say, won't they kind of attract their own kind and figure this out eventually? You know, SMU is going to have a program. They're not going to have a program in the SEC, but they're going to have a program. And I think that applies to Miami of Ohio, the school he loves. I think they'll work this out. I'm personally selfish. It's not as bad as you are about the SEC, but I'm very proud of it. And I'm just not sure you can just trash them that fast.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. I mean, you do, and I always enjoy the calls because I know you've got a perspective and a background. You're not just throwing something up against the wall.
Let's wish us both luck. Okay?
Yeah, you're not like the, like those of us on my side where we're asked things and we just come up with whatever crosses our mind. And I don't mean that, but that happens sometimes. Whether we want, it helps if you've had some experience. I will tell you that.
Sure. Well, anyway, you're doing a great job. I think you have the best sports program in America and one of the most important media shows in America, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much for saying that. Really appreciate it. Good to hear from you, Billy. Let's check in next with Caden, who is up next. Hey, Caden, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. But as a former college athlete, I played at the JUCO level and then walked on at a Division I school. This should have been addressed, done by the NCAA a long time ago. Players should have been paid. There should have been something. They're behind the eight ball, and this has been going on a long time. People have been getting paid. It's not a secret. These players deserve it. These universities are making money, and they deserve to make money. Now, as for your guest that said it's going to cause egos in the locker room, I think you'll probably have that in some, but I've been on those teams. I've been on a team with a championship run. I've been a walk-on on those teams. Walk-ons don't get,
Hey, Caden, explain to those of us who have not been in your shoes what it's like in those locker rooms and how you think it will correct itself.
Well, you have your stars, and then you have your contributors on every team. I think it will correct itself due to it has always corrected itself. If there's been that ego that's above the team will correct that ego. I've seen it firsthand. Nobody's above the team. And when you get everybody buying in on that, there's no problem. Doesn't matter if somebody's making $100,000 or one of us isn't making anything. We're all part of that. We all bought in on that. We're all here to accomplish one goal.
Well, that is a great perspective, Caden. Thanks for sharing yours, and you be well. Master Jay is in Birmingham. You're on the air.
Paul Feinbaum, speaking with you, my first time calling, avid listener to the Paul Feinbaum show.
Thank you very much.
Listen, your guest that was on very shortly, short while ago, rather, he gave a statement of the problem. No solution whatsoever. What a waste of time in terms of his presentation. He mentioned several things that got my attention, which it may have some point of relevance to it. There's a slave ship. Players have been playing football at these universities for years, have not received any benefit except some call of scullion to say, what about the scholarship? If you extrapolate the scholarship money versus time spent on the field, in the locker room, off-season practice, et cetera, if it comes to some total of $5 an hour, I'd be surprised. Taking, for example, $25,000 a year to attend the University of Alabama. Extrapolate those numbers out from time spent on that field, up and down the bleachers, in the locker room, in the weight room, off-season practice, et cetera, you come up with probably a minimum of $5 an hour. It seems to me, Paul, that if you do not change the paradigm of college football as we know it today, then certainly we'll collect. The guy that offered his opinion, statements regarding the sky's falling theory, offered again no solution to the problem. What I offer is this. It seems to me, regardless whether you have a 12-man field, a 4-man field in the playoff, what happens, the same teams that are at the top now will be at the top at the end of the day. So it seems to me, someone should go in the locker room, office room, whatever, to come up with an idea that's a practical solution to the problem. Right now, there's no real solution on the table. Paul, again, I listen to you avidly every day. You do a great job with your show, but the caller, that presenter side of the story, makes absolutely no sense. In my opinion, it seems to me that you need to set up, whether it's practical or not, I don't know, some sort of draft system where the University of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, whoever, don't get the same top players across the country every year. Based on the current system, Alabama's going to keep winning, along with Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, and other teams. Now, if you have a 12-man system, as you do, they're presenting, you see, it seems to me, when you get the Watermelon University playing Clemson, how's that going to work? When Watermelon University, they only have 300 or 400 followers, you see. So, in other words, what are they going to do television? That's not going to help the market, in my opinion. So, again, the same beat, same drum, you just have a larger field that you're dealing with, Paul. Listen, I do appreciate your time. Continue to do the job you're doing. Again, this is Master Jay from Birmingham, Alabama.
Such a pleasure. Thank you very much. We're up against a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's get some more reaction. A lot of people commenting on what Terrence Moore had to say here a minute ago. And let's continue right now with Stan, who's up next. Hey, Stan.
Hey, man. How you doing today?
We're great. Thank you.
Doing okay. Yeah, good show, man. You know, on this image, likeness, name stuff, everybody's saying, well, you know, it's your running back's not any good if you don't have a lineman, you know. Your quarterback's not any good if he can't throw it or can't get nobody to catch it. So many factors there. But what if you had a fund that everybody contributed in, whether they're going to get $80,000 or they're going to get $5,000, and then it was distributed out among, you know, scholarship players. You know, not only in the football, but in the other sports in the Alabama area. Anyhow, I'm a Tider, so what do you think about something like that?
Well, I think what you say is interesting, except that's not the way this is structured. This is structured for the individual, not for the team. Now, some teams are going to benefit where you have boosters that make it inclusive, but that's not how this was all made. This was not done as a team event.
Well, it's not set in stone yet either, though, is it?
Well, no. The law is basically structured to help every individual's name, image, and likeness. That's an individual. That's not a collective. However,
right.
If you're a local businessman in Childersburg, Alabama, and you decide you want to, put the entire offensive line on your payroll, you can do that.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Well, I've just been kicking that around. Thought that you could probably straighten me out on it or whatever I needed.
I'm glad you did. And you make a good point, but I just want to make sure people understand. And I don't mean to be a teacher here, because I would be hard pressed to explain the nuances of NIL in Alabama or Chicago or any other state. It's in many, many states, and for those states that don't have it, it's grandfathered in by the NCAA. But it basically is an individual situation. And there are a lot of reasons for that. You can't, you don't want to make it into the, you don't want to make this any more professional sounding than it already is. Anyway, more of your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. We want to get your reaction. We have a couple of guests lined up, and we are coming back with three more hours.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.